العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. الحمد لله. My respected brothers and elders, last week we started the chapter which mentioned discussed ahadith relating to concealing the faults of your fellow Muslims. And we mentioned a few ahadith wherein we discussed the importance and how much significance Islam attaches to concealing other people's flaws. Even if I know that somebody else has certain flaws, certain issues, certain problems, or maybe they've committed certain bad acts, to not reveal them and to conceal them, with the intention that if I conceal, and this hadith came last week, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, لا يستر عبد عبدا في الدنيا إلا ستره الله يوم القيامة. That if a servant of Allah conceals the flaws or the mistakes of somebody else, Allah Ta'ala will conceal his flaws on the day of Qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, when everybody will be judged publicly, the process of the day of Qiyamah will be every single person's hisab, their judgment will be taken publicly. But somebody whose habit it was to constantly think about hiding other people's mistakes, that even if somebody else does a mistake, and it's a bad mistake, I will conceal it with the intention that if I do this in the dunya, Allah will do this to me on the day of Qiyamah. That person, Allah Ta'ala, ulama mentioned, Allah Ta'ala will judge him, everybody will be judged. But Allah Ta'ala will take his hisab and his judgment privately, not in front of everybody else. Other ulama mentioned that this means that Allah Ta'ala will forgive all of his sins, so there is no judgment to take. So it's a very important thing. So we'll mention the last few ahadith which are remaining of this chapter. This hadith, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا زَنَتِ الْأَمَةُ فَتَبَيَّنَ زِنَاهَا فَلْيَجْلِدْهَا الْحَدَّ وَلَا يُثَرِّبْ عَلَيْهَا ثُمَّ إِنْ زَنَتِ الثَّانِيَةَ. I think I did this last week. So we'll go into the next hadith. Again, the hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He mentions that أُتِيَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِرَجُلٍ قَدْ شَرِبَ قَالَ اضْرِبُوهُ قَالَ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ فَمِنَّ الضَّارِبُ بِيَدِهِ وَالضَّارِبُ بِنَعْلِهِ وَالضَّارِبُ بِثَوْبِهِ فَلَمَّا انْصَرَفَ قَالَ بَعْضُ الْقَوْمِ أَخْزَاكَ اللَّهُ قَالَ لَا تَقُولُوا هَكَذَا لَا تُعِينُوا عَلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ رواه البخاري. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentions that a man was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he had been drinking. So this man had been unfortunately drinking alcohol and he had been brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And of course in Islam, if it was a Muslim country and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the leader of the Muslims, then there is the had, there is the punishment of drinking. So this man was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, implement the had on him. Implement the had, implement the punishment on him. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he says that فَمِنَّ الضَّارِبُ بِيَدِهِ. Out of us, someone was hitting him with their hand. وَالضَّارِبُ بِنَعْلِهِ. Someone was hitting him with their shoe. وَالضَّارِبُ بِثَوْبِهِ. And someone was hitting him with their clothes. So whatever the capital punishment was, that was applied to him. فَلَمَّا انْصَرَفَ. To discipline him, فَلَمَّا انْصَرَفَ. After they had turned away, after that had finished, قَالَ بَعْضُ الْقَوْمِ. Some people started to say, أَخْزَاكَ اللَّهُ. May Allah disgrace you. After this had happened, the punishment had been carried out. After the punishment had been carried out, someone started to say, or some people started to say, أَخْزَاكَ اللَّهُ. May Allah disgrace you. So on top of punishing him, they were saying things with their mouth. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا تقولوا هكذا. Don't say these kind of things. لا تعينوا عليه الشيطان. Do not assist the shaitan upon him. Meaning that whatever this person has committed, whatever action he has done, whatever harm he has done, he has compensated it for it, and this is the whole point of the punishment. And last week we did the hadith about the maid servant, that if she does zina, and I don't want to repeat that hadith again because I see some younger children as well. So if something like this happens and it's a Islamic country and the capital punishment has been carried out, then that is the tawbah of the person. And there are many other hadith like this, that a woman, when she came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning that unfortunately she took part in this action of zina, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the capital punishment be carried out on her. And when that was happening, certain sahaba started to say things against her. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, she has done such a tawbah. Don't say this because her tawbah is so sincere that if her tawbah was distributed amongst the people of Medina, it would be sufficient for them. That's how sincere and how great her tawbah was and how accepted her tawbah was in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. So we as human beings, we should constantly think about concealing the sins of people. And that's why amongst the Sahaba, you have a few incidents where, you know, these kind of things happen, but you see that the Sahaba don't mention their names. Unless there's a valid reason to mention the name, the Sahaba do not mention who it was that did which action. They just say, Rajulun, or they say, Imra'atun. A man did such an action, or a woman did such an action, and they won't mention it, because there's no need to tell the Ummah which particular Sahabi or which particular Sahabiyah did that particular action. Unfortunately, our quality is that we don't even think it's rewarding, but we just have this habit of telling other people. So if something has happened, and someone has done even a bad action, then how do we know that that person will not then go on to make sincere tawbah, to repent for his action? Even if it's not today, even if it's not in a year's time, or 5 years' time, or 10 years' time, maybe that day will come wherein Allah Ta'ala gives him the ability to do tawbah for that action. What benefit is there in me spreading his action and telling other people about his action, informing other people? And that's why we mentioned last week as well, that only if you fear that harm is going to come from someone. That, for example, I gave this example, that if you have a thief in the neighborhood and you know that this person has a habit of going to people's houses and stealing, so then it's perfectly valid to alert other people that be careful, there's this person and he has this habit of stealing from houses. So people are aware of the harm that can come from this person. But if there is no such case, then we should not speak ill of any other person unnecessarily, even if they may have many bad habits, because there's no benefit. We'll just go on to the next chapter and we'll do one hadith, inshallah. The next chapter is Babu Qada. As I mentioned, all of these chapters now are going to be discussing the rights of the Muslims. So Babu Qada'i Hawa'ijil Muslimin, the chapter which discusses fulfilling the needs of the Muslims. If a Muslim has any need, to fulfill that person's need, the hadith are going to be brought in this chapter discussing this. Qala Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, Ba'da a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, Wafa'alu al-khayra la'allakum tuflihun. Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, and do acts of goodness, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you may be successful. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, and Allah Ta'ala also says, وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. And whatever act of goodness you do, whatever good action you do, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ, indeed Allah Ta'ala is aware of this act of goodness. So this khayrin is nakira. Khayrin is nakira, meaning any small action of goodness that you may commit. Doesn't matter how small it may be. Allah Ta'ala knows the action. So automatically, as soon as you do the smallest action of goodness, Allah Ta'ala is aware of this and Allah Ta'ala will reward you on behalf of this. So these are the verses he brought, and then he brings the first hadith of this chapter. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال المسلم أخو المسلم لا يظلمه ولا يسلمه ومن كان في حاجة أخيه كان الله في حاجته ومن فرج عن مسلم كربة فرج الله عنه بها كربة من كرب يوم القيامة ومن ستر مسلما ستره الله يوم القيامة متفق عليه. So this hadith is narrated by both Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. I'm just going to explain this hadith inshallah and then we'll conclude today's session. So Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim. A Muslim is a brother of another Muslim. A Muslim is a brother of another Muslim, to another Muslim. La yadhlimuhu, he does not oppress him. So zulm is any form of harm that you can do to a fellow, to another person. So he does not harm him, he does not oppress him, he does not hurt him. All of that comes underneath zulm, oppression, harming, hurting, abusing, anything else. And then وَلَا يُسْلِمُهُ, neither does he let anybody else harm him. So the first quality of the Muslim is that he does not harm another believer, and secondly, he does not hand him over to harm, meaning he does not let anybody else harm him, anybody else abuse him, anybody else slander him. Meaning he rushes to the defense of his Muslim brother at all times. وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي حَاجَةِ أَخِيهِ, whoever fulfills the need of his brother, كَانَ اللَّهُ فِي حَاجَةِ, Allah Ta'ala will always fulfill his need. Anyone who makes it a habit that any time a person comes to me in need, any form of need, I will fulfill that person's need, Allah Ta'ala will fulfill his need. وَمَنْ فَرَّجَ عَنْ مُسْلِمٍ كُرْبَةً, and whoever removes a difficulty from a Muslim, Kurbatun is any kind of difficulty which is causing me any kind of issues. So whoever removes any difficulty from another Muslim, فَرَّجَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ بِهَا كُرْبَةً مِنْ كُرَبِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ Allah Ta'ala will remove from him one of the difficulties from the many difficulties of the Day of Qiyamah. The Day of Qiyamah, everybody will face countless difficulties. The Hisab, as soon as a person dies, straight away, the difficulties start. In the Qabr, in the grave, all the difficulties start straight away. Is a person going to be successful in the grave or not? And then even if he is successful, it goes on, stand in front of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and then you have Hisab. Even before Hisab starts, everybody's Hisab, everybody's accountability will start at different times. Some people will be waiting for a very long time for their accountability. Many years. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ The one of the days of the hereafter is like 1,000 years of this world. So we're going to be waiting an immense and intense amount of time, you know, just before the Hisab even starts. Accountability even starts. And after the Hisab starts, the difficulties. Are you going to pass the test? Are you going to get your book of deeds in your right hand? Are you going to get your book of deeds in your left hand? All of these are test upon test. And then you have the Sirat, the bridge that everybody is going to have to travel over. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, some people will travel over at the speed of lightning. Some people will travel over it at the speed of a horse rider. Others will travel over it at the speed of a man running. Some will travel over it at the speed of a man walking. Some will travel over it at the speed of someone crawling, very slowly. And the whole journey over the Sirat is so intense because underneath the Sirat is Jahannam. So any moment that person could slip, and you will be seeing, we will be seeing people around us falling into Jahannam. And the person does not know, are my actions enough for me to be able to smoothly pass over the Sirat? And then later on a person goes to, Jannah, if Allah Ta'ala accepts the person for Jannah. So many difficulties. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioning a person who removes a difficulty from a Muslim in this dunya, Allah will remove one of the difficulties from the many difficulties of the Day of Qiyamah from this person. وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ And again, this is going back to the previous chapter. Whoever conceals the faults of another Muslim, he hides the mistakes of another Muslim, Allah Ta'ala will hide his mistakes, Allah Ta'ala will hide his flaws on the Day of Qiyamah. So there are many lessons to be learned from this. Some of them have been mentioned previously because these hadith are now being reiterated. He's bringing this. But the main purpose of this chapter is قَضَاءُ حَوَائِجِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ Fulfilling the needs of a fellow Muslim. A person comes to me in need, straight away I should make his need my priority. A person comes to me with a difficulty, a need, and they say, I need your help. You know, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he'd get so happy when somebody would come to him with a need. You know, when people come to me with problems, I get upset. Everybody's coming to me. You know, this guy's come to me and I just got off the phone with this person, somebody else is phoning me. Got off the phone with him, somebody else is phoning. Just finished speaking to him and some family members come along with their problem. Finished talking to him, somebody else comes along. And some people, they don't know how to not let it stress them out. Some people get everybody's need. They say, I'm here to listen to everybody's problem. Now he comes with a problem, she comes with a problem, they come with a problem, and now their stress level goes high and they become ill. That happens as well. So people react differently. But you see, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with the needs of everybody. Anybody would come to him at any time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there to deal with their needs. So it's mentioning that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, whenever a person comes to me with a problem, automatically I express gratitude to Allah Ta'ala. That, oh Allah, you have sent your servant to me to help them. And that servant of yours thinks that I can help him. And secondly, he would do dua that, oh Allah, give me the ability to help him in the way that he deserves to be helped. Because somebody can come to me with a problem, but am I going to be able to solve his problem for him? Am I going to be able to assist him in the issue that he's going through? So that's another thing. You know, people come to you and then they leave feeling dissatisfied that, oh, he wasn't helpful at all. That can happen. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu would do that dua. He'd be, first of all, that look, the fact that Allah has sent someone to me for help, imagine how much reward I will get from helping that person. Because you can't just walk around helping people, you can as well. But people have to come to you, seeking your assistance. So Allah has sent someone to you for you to help. Now you should, you know, make your utmost effort to try and, or do your utmost best to try and help that person. So Allah Ta'ala gives us all the tawfiq and the ability. Inshallah, we have lessons every Thursday and lessons every Saturday. On Thursday, we have our lessons where we talk about the lives of the pious people after Asr as well in this season. And on Saturday, we have lessons of Hadith in English, which takes place after Asr. Inshallah, everyone's quite to participate and bring other people to join in these sessions as well. It will be very beneficial for all of us, inshallah. JazakAllah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Astaghfirullah.